Okay, the plan tonight is to try and share some relatively short thoughts on different parts of the Haggadah to assist us in our understanding of the Haggadah and hopefully assist us in enhancing our Seder as well. And I hope there'll be time in future weeks for a follow-up as well. But we'll start tonight. And Svarim that I'm using tonight, I don't think were ones I used in the past. Primarily tonight, we'll look at the Haggadah Minchas Asher of Rav Asher Weiss. And we'll quote a lot from him, with a few sprinkling here and there of some others. Okay, just as an opener, we know that the Haggadah, although the actual Magid begins with paragraph Halach Ma'anya, the Manishtana, the Avadim Hayinu, but it's customary for people to recite the Simone HaSeder beforehand, recite the Kadesh Orchatz order of the Seder. So Sefer B'Talmud of Yadol, Rabbi Yerachmiel Kram, says very simply that the reason we do this is because Pesach night is all about the children. It's all about teaching, transmitting. And a Yisod Gadol in Chinuch, he says, is when you're teaching, you always tell the student, the young student, the young child, before you begin, what you're going to be doing. Remember my Israeli classes, we had one class that was entirely focused on the TLWs, the learner will. Every class, you have to begin with, the learner will do this today, and then teach them what they have to know, and then test the TLW at the end of the class to make sure they can do what you said they were going to do before this class started. So essentially, the Kadesh Orchatz Simone HaSeder is an earlier version of the TLW. That's what it is. Tonight we're going to do the following, and that way the younger members of the Seder have a better sense as to what to expect and how to absorb it and to learn it. Okay, let's look at the just number of paragraphs in the Magid. We're not going to discuss each one. I don't remember how far we got in previous years. But we'll just select it here and there as we go through it and just speak out a little bit on different paragraphs in the Magid. The first Halach Ma'anya paragraph, referring to the matzah, the lachem oni, that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim, and essentially what we're doing is we're proclaiming, kol dichven yeseh v'yechol, kol ditzruch yeseh v'yevsach. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever is needy, come and partake of the Korban Pesach. And the question everybody asks is, why do we begin the Seder with that open-ended invitation? Why is that necessary? Obviously, presumably, whoever is coming is already there. Whoever is not coming already has some other plans, hopefully. Whereas we don't ordinarily expect people to come at this last minute, but there's obviously some symbolism there to expressing a sincere desire and an invitation to have people come. So what is that all about? So in the Haggadah of the Munkach Rebbe, the Darkei Tshuva, is the father of the Minchas Elazar. So the Munkach Rebbe, the author of the Darkei Tshuva, writes as follows. He says that the Baal Shem Tov teaches us on the Pasuk Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yeminecha that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, is our shadow. So the Baal Shem Tov says, why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu compared to our shadow? The Baal Shem Tov says, because Ke'uvda Dilatata Isar Uvda Dila'ela, that what we do down here in this world is how God acts with us up above. God is our shadow. He mimics our actions. We move, he moves. How we move is how he moves. Meaning the way we conduct ourselves and the midos that we employ in our conduct is the way God treats us as well as our shadow. And with that basic premise, the Darkei Tshuva says the following interesting, beautiful vort. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, very interesting Pasuk, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Mem Beis, Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, Lehotziyam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that this night, the night of Pesach, is a Leil Shimurim, which ordinarily we take to mean God is protecting us, God is guarding us, watching us, to take us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Hu HaLaila HaZeh LaHashem, this is the night for Hashem, Shimurim L'chol B'nei Sol Dorasam. So Darkei Tshuva says that the word Shimurim might be understood in a slightly different context, slightly different way. We know in Parshas Vayeshev, the Pasuk says, V'aviv shamar es hadavar, that when Yaakov heard the dreams of Yosef, So Yosef's brothers were very jealous of the dreams that he had, that I'll be the king, you'll bow down to me. And Yaakov's reaction, says the pasuk, was Shamaris Hadavar, which Rashi says was, he waited, anticipated the fulfillment of that dream. Because the word Shamar in Tanakh might not just mean to watch and to guard, but it might mean as well to anticipate, eagerly await. Some say that that's the Pshat and Vishamru B'nai Yisrael Shabbos. That's not enough to keep Shabbos, but we have to eagerly anticipate Shabbos. So the Darkei Tshuva says, he says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem LaHotziyam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Shimurim L'chol B'nai Yisrael Darasam means that this is a night on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Shimurim Hu LaHashem LaHotziyam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, it's a night on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eagerly anticipating and is desiring to bring about a Geula for Klal Yisrael. Shimurim Hu LaHashem, God is anticipating, awaiting eagerly, to take them out of the Golus. And Shimurim Chol B'nai Yisrael Darasam, it's a night in which Klal Yisrael also should anticipate and eagerly await their opportunity for Geula as well. So the Darkei Tshuva says, if this is a night that is conducive for Geula, it's a night in which God is eagerly anticipating our Geula, a night in which we are eagerly anticipating our Geula. So he says, Hashem Tzilcha Yadim Minecha would imply that we should conduct ourselves in a way that would elicit the same reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore we invite everyone, Kol Dichvan Yesev Yechol, Kol Dichvan Yesev Yifsach, we're willing to open our homes to anybody. We're willing to give out whatever anybody wants, whether deserving of it or not, we're open. We're going to give whoever wants, whatever they want. And our hope is that if we are willing to give to others freely, without all sorts of preconditions, and depends who you are, depends what you want, depends where you're coming from, how long you're staying for, we're opening up our homes and saying, Kol Dichvan, Kol Ditzrich, come in, come in, come in. Then our hope is that Kadosh Baruch Hu as well will give us what we want without any preconditions as well. That we will be zochet to that ke'ul, which Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we are eagerly waiting for on this night, without any preconditions, even if we ourselves are not worthy of such. So that is the Darkei Tshuva's understanding of the opening paragraph of the Leil HaSeder of Halach Ma'anya. Okay, any comments before we move on? Next?
Yeah. So why don't we ask the question in shul?
Why don't we ask it in shul?
Why do we ask it now?
To invite people to the Seder, you're saying, in shul.
I mean, so...
Right. okay, it's a fair question. I guess, you know, as we're beginning the Seder, which is recalling the Geula, and as we're saying, Hashata Hacha, Hashanah Ba'at B'nei Chorin, or Hashata Hacha, Hashanah Ba'at Arad Yisrael, when we're, you know, making that request of, we're hoping next year to be in Eretz Yisrael, we're connecting the Kol Dichvan and Kol Ditzrich with that tefillah as well, based on his understanding of it. Okay. Next, the Haggadah introduces the Manashtana, the four questions. The question about the matzah, about the maror, about the dippings, and the haseba. And many mefarshim ask, you know, why is it that dafka these four questions were chosen? There's so much you can talk about the Seder night that's different than every other night. There's four cups of wine, which we don't ordinarily have. In fact, and if you look in the Gemaras, in the Yavav and the Yerushalmi, not everyone always had this fourth question of the Heseba as one of the four questions. So everyone tries to discuss and understand why dafka do we have these four questions, not others. So one very simple explanation given by the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, is that you're right. You know, there could have been other things we could have asked about. Dalet Kosos we could have asked about. Could have been other things we could have mentioned that are unique about Pesach night. But what we're trying to get at in the Manash Tana is not to list every unique component of the Seder. Rather, we are simply asking what the basic theme of the Seder that we should emphasize is. Meaning, if you look at the Manash Tana, we're asking about matzah, about tibulim, and about haseba. Those are all reflective of chayrus. Shel hitzpik betzekam, shel avoseinu lahachemitz. They didn't have time to rise their bread because they're rushing out to freedom. The haseba, the tibulim, those are all the way fancy, rich people conduct themselves at their meals. So on the one hand, we have facets at the Seder tonight, which is reflective of our chorin, of our chayrus, of our freedom, of our luxuries. On the other hand, you have the mar, which is obviously reflective of our memories of slavery, of shibud, of suffering, of difficulties. And even the matzah itself reflects the avdus also, because matzah is lechem oni. matzah has a dual implication. On the one hand, it's reflective and it reminds us of the vohispik betzekim. We didn't have time to let it rise because we're running out to freedom. On the other hand, it reminds us of the lachem oni of the avos of Mitzrayim. So the basic premise of the Ma'ariv Shtana then says Rav Asher Weiss is not to list every unique component of the Seder, but rather to give illustrations of the two conflicting themes of the Seder, Avdus versus Cheirus, Shibud and Geula. And the basic question is, which one is it tonight? Is it that we're emphasizing the celebration of the Cheirus, or is it that we're emphasizing our memories of the slavery of the Shibud? And with that understanding of the Ma'ariv Shtana, what's the answer then that we give in the following paragraph? We then, in the following paragraph, answer, Avodim Hayinu, Lefar B'Mitzrayim, Ve'yotze'enu Hashem L'keinu Misham B'Yad Chazaka. We started out as slaves, we were redeemed with the Yad Chazaka, and a bit later on in the Haggadah, you know, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara Hayah Avoseinu, Ba'achshav Kerevonu Hamakum L'Avodaso. Both of those two lines are what the Gemara says, Maschil B'Gnusa Messiah B'Shavach. So you have to remember both. You have to remember both the bad times and the good times. And the point of that, says Rav Asher Weiss, is because it's only when we first start by remembering the Maror, by remembering the Shiva, by remembering the terrible times, that we're then better able to appreciate the good times, the Cheres, the Geula, the Haseba, and the Tzibulim. And so, by responding with the Maschil B'Gnusa Messiah B'Shavach, we start off with the Avaram Hayinu, we start off with the Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu, and then we proceed to the Geula, to the Vayotzei Hashem L'Keinu Misham, to the Achshav Kevana Makom L'Avodaso, to the physical Geula, to the spiritual elevation. We are essentially saying we need to remember the bad times, how we came on to good times, because then we're better able to appreciate and to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for that cheres that we now celebrate. Okay, next thought. At any time, please feel free to interject with any enhancements or suggestions or other explanations.
Did they talk about why that's the order of Mashanah?
Well, that's the order, in terms of why I list the questions in that order.
You said Masa's Paris, then Mars, Shibud, then Paris, Paris.
So you say it should be Mar first.
Yeah.
Then matzah, then tibul and haseba, because matzah we said has a dual implication. But still, I mean, your question is still a good one. If matzah has a dual implication and mar has only one implication, so then you should have mar first. Unless we're simply using the I was going to say the chronological order, but that doesn't necessarily work because
you dip first.
Haseba is throughout.
And you dip,
karpas, you dip first before masa. All right, well, maybe Hasebi is not for Dalakosos, and Tibul comes before masa and Mar. That's a good question. I don't know. Why is it in that order? Not sure. Unless the answer is that masa is the one mitzvah d'oraisa we have on Pesach night, and Maror once was a mitzvah d'oraisa when we had a carbon Pesach, but no longer is. And Tibulim and Haseba are definitely across the board only Mitzvah Rabbanim. Maybe that would work. Okay. The Baal Haggadah says, Vafilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, even if we are all wise, full of understanding, kulanu zakenim, we're all experienced, kulanu yodim es haTorah, we all know the Torah, still mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Rav Asher Weiss is a very beautiful pshat. He says, you know, there's a very famous question that many achronim deal with, which is, we know that there's a mitzvah every single day of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every day I have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. I say the third parsha of Kriyas Shema. A mitzvah every single day to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the question everyone struggles with is, so what is so unique about the Seder night when I have a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? How is that different than the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? Very basic question. And various answers are given. You know, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't have to be done in Bederach She'ela Utshuva question-answer format. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim does have to be done in a question-answer format. Okay, so there may be some differences. But Rosh Hashanah gives us a very, very basic distinction, which I think really touches upon what the mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzirah and Shemayim is at its very essence. And that is, he says very simply, that perhaps the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzirah and Mitzrayim, which we have every single day, is intended that we should be aware, that we should know that Yetzirah and Mitzrayim occurred. On the other hand, Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim on Pesach night is not just to be aware, not just to know, but it's to feel it, it's to experience it. That we know, you know, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Kilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. Person has to see himself as if he himself experienced Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So on the basis of that comment, Rav Asher Weiss says that clearly the goal of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim is not just to be aware of it, to know it, but it's to feel it as much as possible. And that's why he says, very interestingly, in the phrase we just read, it says, "Afilu klonu chacham, klonu nevon, klonu zakeinim." We're all very wise and knowledgeable. Klonu yodim es haTorah. We all know everything in the Torah. So great, yodim es haTorah. If we know everything that happened, that's good enough for a zechiras yetzias mitzrayim. But tonight, still mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yetzias mitzrayim. Yodim is not going to be enough for sipur yetzias mitzrayim because tonight's not enough to remember just to know it. Tonight the obligation is to recall it, to relive it. And that obviously is a very, very basic yesod in what the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. And we'll get back to that a bit later when we get to that point in the Haggadah itself of Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. Okay, we then come, let's skip a little bit to the description of the four sons in the Chumash. And here, obviously, the Baal Haggadah takes four different psukim in the Chumash. All the psukim, all of those four psukim, speaking about teaching our children about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Baal Haggadah tells us that the four psukim are references to four different kinds of kids. Okay, so the Chacham, the Tam, the Ein, the Elishal, and the Rasha. And everyone discusses, you know, what exactly is the distinction between the Chacham and the Rasha? What is so insightful in the Chacham's question? What is so objectionable in the Rasha's question? So Rasha Weiss suggests the following pshat. He says, the Chacham who asks, Moha Eidos v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. What are the laws that God commanded us? Hashem, our God, commanded you. And the answer is also very troubling. So you tell him, like the laws of Pesach, ein machtirin achar Pesach hafikomen. You can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. So that itself is very troubling. What, you know, he's asking, what are these laws that God, Hashem, our God, commanded you? And you give him one answer of, well, you're not allowed to eat anything after Korban Pesach. So how does that answer the question in any way? He's asked about the laws in general. You give him one specific illustration of Hilchas Pesach. So he suggests as follows. He says, the Chacham is asking about three different categories of mitzvos and what the purpose of mitzvos in general are. If you look at the question, the Chacham specifies Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. And he is trying to ask us what the purpose of mitzvos are in general. And in asking that question, he points to three different categories of mitzvos. Eidos, the testimonials, are the mitzvos that remind us. Shabbos reminds us of Bries HaOlam. The Yom Tov and Pesach, etc., reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sukkot, the traveling through the desert. Shavuos, Matan Torah. Now, there's a lot of Eidos mitzvos that are remembrance mitzvos. Then you have Mishpatim, which are the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Don't steal, don't rob, don't murder, don't do this, don't do that. Interaction between people. Then you have the chukim, which are the ones that we don't necessarily understand the reason for. Those are the, you know, what God asks of us, which we might not necessarily understand on a rational level. And so the Chacham, in asking what the purpose of mitzvos in general are, points to three different categories of mitzvos. And what Rav Asher Weiss suggests the answer is that we are answering him Va'af ata emorlo, and you should respond to him, kehilchos ha-pesach, that the purpose of the mitzvos is similar to the purpose of this hilchos pesach, of ein machtir achar pesach afikomen. At the same way that the hilchos ha-pesach are that you can't eat anything after the korban pesach, because we want the taste of the korban pesach to remain in our mouth for as long as possible, so that we should feel it and be, you know, and experience it. So too, the purpose of mitzvos is to leave a mark on us as well. Just like the purpose of ein machtirin is to leave the taste of the korban pesach behind, so too the purpose of the mitzvos is to leave its mark or leave their mark on the Jewish neshama. And what he then suggests is that perhaps along those lines we can suggest that Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim are designed to bring us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the following way. Coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu requires that we desire a Dveikus, we desire coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we prepare for that closer relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Eidos Mitzvos, remembering what God did for us in the formative stages of our development, those mitzvahs are all about making us want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishpatim, how we interact with people, are all about making sure we don't do the wrong things, the Sur Meira, don't do this to your friend, don't do that to your friend. And the Chukim is the Aseh Tov, how to perfect oneself and coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, doing what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, but Adam Lamakum is the final stage in that perfecting our personality. Now, although maybe one might take issue with how he classifies the Eidos Mishpatim and Chukim, but the basic idea is the Chazalich says that Lo nitnu ha-mitzvos el tzarf behem esabrios. The Medrash says that the mitzvos are given to purify us, to perfect us. So what he's suggesting is that that's what we're suggesting to the Chacham, that ein maftinach ha-pesach ha-vikomen, the Pesach is designed to leave its taste behind, so to the mitzvos, all of them. However you understand it, but all of them are designed to leave their mark behind on the personality of the Jew and to perfect him, as the Medrash says, that the mitzvos are given to perfect us, to improve us, to make us better people.
What are Eidos?
Eidos, he says, are the remembrance mitzvos. Remember the Tzias Mitzrayim, remember the Sukkos in the desert, remember the Matan Torah, what God did for us. Okay, one, or two more points on the Chacham in Rasha. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bo, the very end of Parshas Bo, points out something interesting. Meshech Chachma says, if you look in the Psukim, which the Haggadah identifies as the Chacham, the Tam, and the Rasha, so when the Chacham asks you the question in the Chumash, this is in Parshas Va'eschanan, by the Chacham it says, Ki yish'olcha bincha mochar le'mor. When your son asks you tomorrow, le'mor. By the Tam, in Parshas Bo, it says, V'haya ki yish'olcha bincha mochar le'mor. It will be when your son tomorrow asks you, le'mor. By the Rasha, it says very simply, V'haya ki yomru aleichem b'nechem, when your children say to you, and that word le'mor is missing. Now by the Ein of the Elishol, obviously, he doesn't ask, so that's not relevant, but with regard to the three kids who do ask questions, the word le'mor is not found by the Rasha, but it is found by the Chacham and the Tam. And so the Meshech Chacham asks, what's the significance of that? Why is it that the word le'mor is only found by the Chacham and Tam, not by the Rasha? So the Meshech Chacham quotes a Sifri in Parshas Vaschanon, that le'mor, the word le'mor in Chumash implies awaiting an answer. I'm telling you something or asking you something and I'm awaiting your reaction. I'm awaiting your answer. So based on that, the Meshech Chacham says, the Chacham and Tam are the ones who ask the question because they have an interest in learning. They want to hear what the answer is. The Rosh is the one person who doesn't say le'mor because his whole attitude is not that I want to learn, I want to hear what you have to say. I just want to make fun of it. I just want to downplay it, mock it, disregard it. And that's why Rasha Weiss adds to that Meshech Chachma, when you look at the response to each of those children, by the Chacham, the Pasuk says, V'amarta levincha, you should say to your son. By the Tam, it says, V'amarta elav, you should say to him. By the Ein Dei Lishol, who didn't ask, it still says, V'higadat levincha, you should tell him. By the Rasha, it just says, V'amarta mzevach pesach. And you should say, it's the Pesach sacrifice. It doesn't say, v'amartem elov. It says, v'amartem. Just say in general. Because if he doesn't want an answer, we're not going to give him an answer. We'll just speak to those around him, the others in the room. And he then explains, what's the meaning of the last expression in that paragraph? Bavur ze asah Hashem li, b'tseisi mimitzrayim, li v'lo lo, ilu hayashem lo hayanigal. If the Russia was there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. What's that all about? Are we just saying that you're such an evil guy that you probably wouldn't have made it out? Like, what's the significance of ilu hayashem lo hayanigal, would not have been redeemed? Why is the Russia one who would not have been redeemed? So he suggests, very interestingly, what was the Russia's question? The Russia asked, Moha avoda hazos lachem. What is this service, this avoda, all about? The Russia is somebody who is not happy with the fact that we are avadim. He doesn't want to be an eved. He doesn't want to have to be an eved Hashem. He's asking, Moha avoda hazos, what do I have to do this work for? He doesn't want to be an eved Hashem. And yet, Rav Asher Weiss points out, the Pasuk says explicitly, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to become avdei Hashem. The Pasuk says, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadai heim, asher hotseisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. God says explicitly, the Jews are avadim to me, they are my servants, avadai heim. Why? Asher hotseisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, because I took them out of Mitzrayim. Meaning the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to become avdei Hashem. So Dafka the Russia, who says, Maha avoda zos lachem, I have no need for this avdus. I don't want to be an eved. Lo hayanigal. He would not have been zochet to Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to recognize that, yes, now we are of Ovdei Hashem, and Baram Tem Hashem L'Kechem, true. Yes, we are sons as well. But you can't deny the fact that we're also Avadim Tokadosh Baruch Hu. If the Russia wants to see himself only as a pampered child and not as one who has to work, who has to be an eved Hashem, then lo hayanigal, he would not have been zochet to Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the purpose was Avadai Heim Asher Tseisi Osam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So we'll leave the four sons at that. Any thoughts on the four sons? Comments?
How
yeah.
does that in general explain the Lamar that we generally find by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lamar? Hashem was waiting for...
Right, so usually I think we assume that that means Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the Moshe to pass it on to Klal Yisrael, to say it over to somebody else. There was a response or a reaction expected, just to speak to others. But there was some, speaking reaction that was desired. So I guess Mishnah Chacham is saying, based on the Sifri and Vaz Chayim, that Lemor might also imply, I'm waiting you to say something to me, not necessarily to others, but I'm waiting your spoken reaction to me as well. One of the most famous questions that Rishon talk about comes up in regard to the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha that we quote here in the paragraph, Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LeYisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is God who kept his promise to Klal Yisrael, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Esaketz, Lasos Kamasha Amar Avram Avinu. God did what he told Avram he would do. What was that? That he told Avram Avinu, Ger Yezeracha Be'eretz Lo'lehem V'Avadim V'ino Samar B'Mil Shana, that we're going to be foreigners, and we're going to be slaves for 400 years. And then, V'Gamas HaGoya Asher Ya'avodu Dan Anochi, but the people that they serve, I will judge. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik even points out that Dan Anochi implies that I'm going to take a personal interest in judging this case, because I'm going to be biased almost in favor of the Jewish people. And the question Shonam asks is, how is it fair that if God decreed that the Bnei Yisrael should be Avadim, how is it fair that the Mitzrayim should then be punished for doing what God wanted to be done? This is a very basic question. This is a very basic hashkafic question in general. The Rishon will talk about this on that pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. Just to point this out, it's a very interesting machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the end of Perek Vav, the Rambam writes that the reason why the Mitzrayim were punished, even though they were doing what apparently God had decreed should be done, the Rambam says is because even though God decreed the Jews should be enslaved, But he never said who should do it. And even if God had intended it should be the Mitzrayim, and you know that's why he engineered going down to Mitzrayim, but he never specified which individual Mitzri should be the one to whip the Jews. So any one Mitzri who took it upon himself to hurt and to persecute and to afflict the Jewish people was therefore liable for making that personal choice, and that's why they were punished. That's the Rambam's suggestion in that's his psak hashita in his opinion in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Vav. So the Ramban al HaTorah, very long and I guess very very hashgafically critical Ramban. The Ramban al HaTorah asks, says, I don't understand. If God decreed that something should happen, even if he didn't say who should do it, but if I volunteer to do it, so I'm zocheh in Dvar Mitzvah. Now I should get accolades for stepping up to the plate. No, if a king issues a decree, I want someone to do X, Y, and Z. So if I just ignore it and I say, let someone else do it, so that's negligence. That's cause for the king to be upset at me. So if I, you know, run to the front and I say, I'll take care of it, I'll do it. So why am I not rewarded for that? So why am I being punished for doing what God wants them to do? Oh, very good.
I mean,
right, so obviously they weren't doing L'shem Shemayim, right. They weren't doing L'shem Shemayim. So one approach might be very simply be that they were doing it for the wrong reasons. They weren't doing it for Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't recall if Ramban himself says that pshat. It could be he does. It's a long Ramban. I think he himself might mention that pshat, that they were doing it for the wrong reasons. They were doing it for themselves. I think Ramban does spell that out. That's one of his suggestions. They were doing it for themselves. So that would be a valid answer for the Rambam's opinion. The Ramban himself, though, suggests a slightly different approach. He says the reason why the Mitzrayim were punished, Gamas Hagoy Asher Avodu Dan Anochi, was because the Gezeira that God decreed was Va'avadum Ve'inu Osam. God never said anything about killing out their kids. Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYeor Tash Lichu. And because the Mitzrayim went over, above, and beyond what they were supposed to do, what God had intended them to do, they were being punished for that. He says, by killing the boys, and by Emarus Chayehem, by attempting to destroy the Jewish nation altogether, Havan Eschak Malok Pen Yirbe, that's what they're being punished for. So there's two basic approaches to why the Mitzrayim were being punished, despite the Gezeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either the Rambam's approach, that it was because each individual Mitzri had the choice to say, I'll do it, I won't do it. Or the Ramban's approach, that they went over, above, and beyond what God had decreed, and they did much more evil than they were supposed to.
But are those the same answers, so to speak, that are given when we're looking at Paro and Paro's individual
Bechira? Right, so the Rambam himself says by Paro, by the Makos you're referring to, right? That Paro lost his ability to choose. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a different issue, meaning there the question was, why was Paro being punished for refusing to send them out of Mitzrayim with the Makos if he couldn't refuse to send them out, if he couldn't agree to send them out because of Chazaktis LeParo? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, just the idea that even before when Moshe kept coming and warning and saying, let them go, and he didn't. Right, that his heart was hardened.
Right, so initially it says, Vayach Bei Paro's Libo, he himself hardened his heart. Ultimately, God said that, you know, I will harden his heart. And there was a transition point where God said, okay, at a certain point, Paro, you've had enough chances, now you're going to lose it. And the Rambam says that at a certain point, a person has that ability to lose his Bechira. If he becomes so bad and so evil, a Bechira is a zchus. And sometimes God will say, says Rambam, in extreme cases, that you know, it's time to be punished, and in order to ensure the punishment comes through, you're going to lose that Bechira. So, I guess it's a related question, but I think that's Rambam's approach to that question. Kerav Asher Weiss then asks, why do we then a bit later in the Haggadah mention the story of Lavan Harami? Why bring in Lavan? We're talking about Paro here. Paro, Mitzrayim. What does Lavan have to do with this Seder night? So he says, because we've just said, V'hisha amda la'avoseinu v'lanu shalo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu elisha v'chol dar v'dar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. We've just mentioned how in every generation people are trying to destroy us, and God saves us. So we mention Lavan and compare him to Paro, because we're trying to illustrate that in every door of a door that we're speaking about, Om Dimalenu L'chaloseinu, there are two types of threats. And these two types of threats are can be seen by the bracha we say at the very end of the Magid, when we say V'noda L'cha Shir Chadash Al Geulaseinu V'Al Pidus Nafshenu. Very end of the Magid, before we drink the second cup, we say in that concluding bracha that we will thank you, God, with a Shir Chadash for our Geula and the Pidus Nafshenu. Why the dual phrase there? Al Geulaseinu V'Al Pidus Nafshenu. So he says, Geula Seinu is a reference to the physical Geula. Pidus Nafshenu is a reference to the spiritual Geula. And we're mentioning the Lavan and the power threats because every generation there's always the physical and spiritual threat that we have to contend with. You have a Paro, you have a Lavan. Paro is the physical, Lavan was the spiritual. You have a Haman who is the physical, you have the Yevanim who are the spiritual. You have a Hitler who was the physical, and you have a Stalin, communism, which is the spiritual. And there's always one threat or the other that the Jewish nation has to contend with, and we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for being there for us in case of either or. Okay, the Haggadah quotes the Pasuk a bit later. Vayomas melech Mitzrayim vayeanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayezaku v'tal shavasam el Hashem. Pasuk, sorry, find that pasuk here. Now when Melech Mitzrayim died, b'nei Yisrael cried out from the hard labor, and their cries went up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so this is a very posh pshat, and that pasuk is somewhat troubling. Only after Melech Mitzrayim died they cried out, and only then God heard their cries. Because what happened up until he died? It was just as bad before he died. So what changed when he died? So Moshe Weiss suggests, he says that so long as Melech Mitzrayim was alive, there was always the hope that this will pass as soon as the guy dies. Once he died and nothing changed, they realized, now we're in big trouble, because this is going to be a perpetual problem. And then they cried out to Kadosh Baruch Hu with a whole heart, knowing that only he can help them. And he illustrates this with a story from the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, Sanzer Rav. A mother came to him with a very sick child, asking for Purush Lema, and the Sanzer Rav told her, you know, bring me 1,000, whatever the currency was at that time, and I'll promise you a Purush Lema. She said, 1,000 coins? How am I supposed to do that? I can't do that, you know. She pleaded with him, he said, no, I'm sorry, nothing less will work. Finally she gave up, she said, okay, if you're not going to help me, then God will help me. And he said, oh good, that's what I wanted to hear. Now I'll give you a bracha for your son. Meaning, if a person places sevitachon in all sorts of other external factors, there's something lacking. Only when we recognize that only Kadosh Baruch Hu can help us, only then are we assured of the best possible result. Okay, just a few more points, and then we'll close up for tonight. We mentioned earlier the B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayev Adam Leros Es Atzmo Ki Lehu Yatzam in Mitzrayim. So the Rambam in his Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, has a slightly variant version of that phrase. His quotation is Chayev Adam Leharos Es Atzmo. Person has to show himself, not see himself, but show himself. And yet, in the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnayos in the 10th parak of Pesachim, there the Rambam does quote the phrase that we have in our Haggadah, B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayev Adam Leros Es Atzmo. A person has to see himself. The question is, what's the difference between Chayev Adam Leros Es Atzmo, a person has to see himself, which is what we have in our Haggadah, and the Rambam's version of the Haggadah, which is Chayev Adam Leharos Es Atzmo. A person has to show himself. So Moshe Weiss suggests that the purpose of Pesach night is a dual one. It's both Leros and Leharos. On the one hand, it's Leros. It's to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, so that we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the personal redemption, the nisim that happened to us. But there's also a laharos es atzmo, to show everyone else, as a persume nisa, to show everyone else the godless of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles. Huh? What? Liros is a personal recollection, thanking God for the miracles that occurred to us. Laharos is show others, persumenisa, publicize God's greatness to others. It says that's why in the very next paragraph we say, Leficha anachnu chayavim lahodos ulahalel, to thank and to praise. He suggests that lahodos is a reference to thanking for personal miracles, and lahalel is to praise publicly so that others can see as well. Okay, and one last thought, which Rav Asher Weiss quotes on that paragraph. This is the paragraph that immediately precedes those two paragraphs of Hallel that we say before the drinking of the second cup. The paragraph says, L'ficha chanachnu chayavim l'hodos l'hallel l'shabeach l'for l'rom l'had l'nateach l'varech l'ali l'kales. Do all these, you know, thanking and praising and etc. To he who perform these miracles for us. And we conclude with V'nom elafon of Shira Chadasha Haleluka, and then we'll sing a new song before him, and then we transition into the Halal of Hallelujah, Hallelujah of the Hashem, and the B'tei Yisrael Mitzrayim. So the Vilna Gaon points out that there is Lahodos Lahal L'Shaveach, that's 3, L'Fora L'Ron L'Hader is 6, L'Natzeach L'Varach L'Ale is 9, and then L'Kale says 10. So the Vilna Gaon writes that ten different descriptions of praise and thanks are parallel to the 10 makos in Mitzrayim. And he suggests that it's only after we have 10 makos concluding with the Makas Bechoros, only then we can come and say the Shira Chadasha of Halal. Because we know from the Gemara Megillah by Purim, the reason we don't say Halal on Purim is because it wasn't a complete Geula. We were still Avodim to Achashverosh, says the Gemara. And so therefore tonight on Pesach night we're stressing that it's not just the 9 Makos that allows us to say Halal, it was only the 10th Makos, the Makas Bechoros, which enabled us to leave Mitzrayim, to become completely Bnei Chorin, that enabled us to say the Halal, and therefore now, V'nom L'fan of Shira Chadasha Halalukah. Okay, so let's leave it at that for tonight, and hopefully we'll have a chance to suggest some more in the weeks ahead. Sure, please.